solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Seems like yesterday, but it was long ago. Jane, it was lovely. She was a queen of my night. There in the darkness with the radio playing low. Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second half hour of our discussion with Pastor Chatfield. Pastor Chatfield, couple of text messages during the break said that, I'm just going to read it straight up. It says, Pastor Chatfield sounds like a neocon. He's nothing but talking about the military-industrial complex, and it's about time we stop these endless wars, and says that there is no justification for what President Trump is doing in Iran. It needs to stop. Now gas prices are too dang high. What would you say to that person?
Okay. First of all, gas prices are high. Hey, I have to buy gas myself. I don't like high gas prices. The least of our worries should be high gas prices. You don't go to war or not go to war based on, well, this is going to increase our gas prices or not. You shouldn't, I don't think. I don't think so. To me, that's not a good reason to go to war, and not a good reason not to go to war. Am I a neocon? No, I absolutely am not. Back in 2003, when it's one of the wars I was going to address was the Iraqi war. No, I think we didn't need to go to war then. Yeah, I think history's proven that. I mean, we were going after George, under the direction of George W. Bush, a neocon. Okay, got it. Well, and establishment Republican, true. Based on that Saddam Hussein was hiding weapons of mass destruction, as it turns out, I don't think that was true. He didn't have any or had very few. We went to war. Yes. I'm just giving you the argument. I didn't know how people would take this. All I'm saying is there's always a reason to go to war. I didn't say there's always a valid reason to go to war. Was it a valid reason to go to war, the Spanish-American War? Well, I don't know. Was the Civil War a valid reason? From the North's perspective. And a lot of Northerners believe this. I think some of our libertarian friends would say, let the South go. I mean, that's part of the argument. Somebody gave me an article by Judge Napolitano, who basically said something that is total nonsense. Excuse me. If we'd have let the South go, just let them go, they'd have found out the economic benefits, the economic hardships that would have come with not being a United Nation. Eventually, they'd have come back, and we'd have been became one nation again without having to go to war. That's just ridiculous. No. If we would have let the South go, as some people wanted us to do, they would have expanded, and they wanted to expand to the South and create a gigantic slave empire in Latin America, with the United States, with the Confederate States of America leading it. And by the way, as Lincoln said, the slaves that were escaping to the North that we only reluctantly sent back to the South before the Civil War, we wouldn't turn them back at all. And, as Lincoln said, the slave trade, which was forbidden by law in the United States, once the Confederate states were free of the northern free states, they would have began again the slave trade. Slavery was not going to die out on its own. I've heard that argument over and over. Oh, it's going to die out on its own. Oh, it isn't. That's, to me, it's just so ridiculous. And the people that the biggest pushers of the Civil War in the South, which was not all, I'm not saying it was all Southerners. That's what they wanted, more slaves. They would love to have restarted the slave trade. Remember, by, what year was it? I think it was 1820. The slave trade was forbidden in the United States. Slave trade. In other words, you couldn't ship them back and forth. You couldn't go capture more Africans and bring them here. Why? Because even they saw the horrendous nature of the slave trade. It was terrible. It was, and they didn't want that. But if we'd have let them go and let the South become the Confederate States of America, yeah, it would have been reinitialized, and we would never have sent fleeing slaves back to the South, and we'd have had more trouble with the South over slavery, even if we are two different countries, than we have with Mexico. Far more trouble, because we were in the North beginning to see more and more the immorality of slavery. That's what Lincoln, here's what Lincoln said. Lincoln said concerning the Civil War, he says, there's only one major difference between North and South. He said this in his first inaugural. People in the South believe that slavery is good and ought to be expanded. People in the North believe it is bad and ought not to be expanded. This is the only substantial difference. The way he said it. Yeah, that's pretty substantial. We don't want the extension of slavery into the territory. We don't want this thing to grow. South did, we didn't. Now, by the way, I'm not saying all Southerners, because all Southerners didn't have slaves. And a lot of Southerners were kind of resentful to the rich plantation owners that owned the bulk of the slaves. But nevertheless, when their states ultimately voted to secede, they went along with that and fought. There were a few Southerners that came north and or stayed true to the Union, and a few people that were in the military from the South that stayed true. But most of them went with their states. And I'm not saying they're terrible people. I'm not saying that Robert E. Lee is a terrible man. He felt like his first loyalty was to his home state of Virginia. Okay. But to say that that war could have been avoided, I don't see how it could have been avoided. It just couldn't have been. Unfortunately, in the providence of God, the war had to come, not only to preserve the Union, but to free the slaves. And it took a war. Sometimes wars have to happen. Now, my argument here on this is not let's go to war continually. I'm not saying that. But I am saying there's always somebody who wants to go to war. Sometimes we need to. Sometimes we don't. You got to look at it, and you have to kind of contemplate that. By the way, before the break, go back to the Spanish-American War. It was the DeLome letter. Ambassador from Spain to the United States wrote a private letter in which he called, McKinley a weak man, terrible president, insulted him. We got the letter, it was published, and it was an embarrassment to Spain. Similar to the Zimmerman note in World War I, what was the Zimmerman note? That was the German foreign minister wrote a letter to Mexico basically promising them to get parts of their country back, i.e. Texas, New Mexico, California, Arizona, if they would join war with Germany and defeat the United States. And that was discovered, and it irritated us. I mean, it's just, that's why people go to war. And we eventually did go to war. When Germany announced the resumption of unrestricted submarine warfare, we went to war. Did it work? Well, we fought. A couple hundred thousand Americans died. At the end of the war, Wilson was saying, hey, come on, let's have a League of Nations. Let's all be peaceful. Let's all, come on, let's all agree not to fight anymore. It just doesn't work. It didn't happen. And then you had the rise of the Nazis, and we had another war, World War II. That is the way it is. Now, why did we have World War II? Well, in Europe, I do think that the Treaty of Versailles was way too harsh on the Germans, and it made the climate ripe for a person like Adolf Hitler to rise and get power. I think that's true. But think about Japan. Why did Japan attack us? Because they thought they could see war coming. And maybe they were right. I don't know. Maybe war was coming. But they said, if war's coming, we're going to punch America right in the nose first, take out their Pacific fleet. And if we can have a knockout blow with one punch, we can win the war. But if the war goes long, we're not going to win it, because they knew what our industrial power was. And by the way, on December 7th, 1941, if our carriers would have been in Hawaii at Pearl Harbor, I don't know how long it would have taken us to win the war. I don't believe we'd have lost that war. But we do. Hawaii would have been vulnerable for attack, and we would have had to rebuild our Navy completely from the West Coast. And the island hopping strategy of Nimitz, from starting in Hawaii and then start island hopping, you know, through all these Iwo Jima, and until we get to, close enough that we can bomb Japan. It would have been a lot of, it would have taken a long time to win World War II. So we were blessed that our carriers were not in Pearl Harbor. That was Japan, right? Did they need to go to war? I don't know. They thought they did. They thought if they could, the war was coming, and we need to go to war sooner than later. Okay. So World War II happens. Japan is defeated. Germany's defeated. We could see something coming. We could see something coming. After the war, we immediately, almost immediately, go to the Cold War. George Patton was arguing with Eisenhower and Truman, let's not stop. Let's be the first to get to Berlin, and let's go and confront the Soviet Union right now, just at the very end of World War II, because there's a war coming with the Soviet Union. Let's attack the Soviet Union now while we've got all the advantages in the world. Our military is here, because they won't keep their promises to have open and free election in Eastern Europe. They're not going to do that. And by the way, Patton was right. No. Yeah. At the Potsdam conference with Stalin and Churchill and Truman, they all agreed, here's how we're going to divide up Europe. And Stalin promised free elections in Eastern Europe. Well, free, he didn't do that. And so by 1947, all of Eastern Europe is communist. But was it time to go to war at the end of World War II immediately to fight the Soviet Union? And by the way, you've heard me say this last week, I'll say it again, Stalin was a terrible dictator. Terrible. He was as cruel and bad as Hitler, as was Mao Zedong. They're cruel and bad. Well, should we take them out because they're so cruel and bad? No, I don't know. I'd say no. I'm glad we did not go to war with the Soviet Union at the end of World War II. But Patton was right. Stalin was a liar. It was an evil empire. And we had 40 years of Cold War because we didn't do it. But eventually, the communism collapsed in Europe. There you go.
Absolutely. There you go. Well, final segment of our discussion today with Pastor Chatfield. Where is it going to end in Iran? Good conversation, couple of text messages. We'll get to those. Short break. We'll be right back.
Hear ye, citizens of Northern Michigan. Your Royal Chariot deserves the finest care. From noble new tires to auto repairs, Royal Tire has decreed smoother travels for all.
Alas, my trusty steed hath a flat
and terrible brakes.
Fear not, fair knight. At Royal Tire of Petoskey, we fix flats, tame brakes, quell noisy exhausts, and keep your kingdom, car, roadworthy. All at prices that won't raid your royal treasury. Royal Tire and Auto Repair of Petoskey, where every driver is treated like royalty.
I'm Justin Michael. I come from more than a century of Republican heritage, a family that has served this country, this state, and our communities with integrity and conviction. My great-grandfather, Edward C. Morrison, served Michigan in the State House as a proud Republican, and that legacy lives in me today. I'm a strong Republican, a combat veteran, and a constitutional conservative, and I believe in limited government, fiscal responsibility, and secure borders. Our district deserves a representative who won't bend, won't break, and won't play political games. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Hi, this is Mitchell Lipton, owner of the W Tax Group. We founded our company with a mission statement, to treat our clients like family and help with your tax problems like they were our own. Call us for a free consultation. Tell us about yourself and your tax problems so we can work together to make your life better for you and your family. Again, for a free consultation, call us at 855-346-1788. That's 855-346-1788.
Chuck or Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people, and even our pets, have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. PatriotsRelief.com.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north. And you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Based on history, let's look at history. I can't find anything in history past Chatfield that even looks similar to anything that's ever been done in Iran conflict. Going way back, Iraq, all the things of that area that we've looked at. But this one is different because of the Straits of Hormuz and the blockade. I've never seen it done this way, and we have new technology that is basically President Trump saying the only type of troops that may go in on the ground, troops on the ground, is simply to recover the enriched uranium. It's not going to be a military shooting on the ground conflict. All that's going to be done from the air. There is no history out there about this region. This is happening for the very first time from what I can see, unless it's way back and I wasn't able to find it. Do you know of anything like this that we've ever done against, or anybody's ever done against Iran?
No, I don't. I do think of the Berlin airlift, but that's totally different than what you're
totally
at. Yeah. I mean, we did it all by air, but eventually could do that forever. Okay, that was immediately after World War II. But, and again, let me say to everybody, there's always a reason for war. I didn't say there's always a legitimate reason. I said there's always a reason. And some of our wars I question. Now, in the end, however, now you've got this administration and Trump, who is not an ideologue. Yeah, he's an America First guy. He is. But he's got a pretty good sense, I think, of the view of the world and how this affects the United States. To simply say it's not our war, no boots on the ground, not our war, that's just kind of, excuse me, that's just kind of silly. It's just kind of silly. But, you know, when Japan attacked us in December 7th, 1941, we should have been more prepared. We should have been more prepared for that. Okay, you know, our intelligence messed up. Okay, got it. But you can't just say, well, we're not going to fight wars and no more wars. We're going to fight wars only that affect us. Listen, the world will surround us at some point. And you have to trust. You don't have to. I do. The judgment of the President of the United States, his advisors, his cabinet, our military, I trust their judgment. Now, history may look back at this and say unnecessary. Maybe. But history might look back at this and say, boy, I'm glad he had the intestinal fortitude to do what it was necessary. And history will be the judge of that. But I am just simply saying wars are a part of human history, always have been, everywhere. Read the Bible, read history. It's a part. You have to be prepared, and sometimes you have to go to war. You have to go to war. Yeah, we're going to have a peace demonstration. Oh, we're all for peace, but some people that are not for peace but are for war, as I read the scriptures, they're going to attack. So you have to be prepared, and sometimes you have to go sooner than later. In a nuclear age, sometimes a preemptive war, I think, is necessary. I tire of this no imminent threat argument. What's an imminent threat? When there's a B-29 over your head and they just released some sort of a bomb, it's not quite imminent because it's going to take about 30 seconds for that thing to hit you in the head. It's too late at that point. And you got to protect yourself. That's why I keep saying, will you pray for our president, pray for wisdom, pray for safety for our troops. Listen, these guys are in the military. We cannot start any military engagement with the absolute promise, no boots on the ground. Cannot do that. Because then the opposition will say, all we got to do is survive these aerial attacks for who knows how long, and then eventually we'll reassert power and we'll go back to killing protesters and Christians and whoever we want to. You have to trust the president here, in my view, especially as a person who voted for him. I'm not going to throw rocks at him now. I kind of like him. I wish he wouldn't say some things he says and so on. I get that. But we have to trust the president. I keep making this argument every week.
And it's not only the president, but I'd look at the generals. I'd look at the Secretary of Defense, now War, Pete Hegseth, former military man himself. And these guys have played the war games. They've looked at exactly what has happened, where are we at now. There is intelligence on the ground. I'm sure people are reporting to us through Israel, through somebody, that we know exactly where these leaders are. We know where their ballistic missile stockpiles are. I just wonder how much more patience Trump is going to have with them dragging out negotiations. I guess that's my final question. Wrap up with that.
Okay. I'll just say this. President Trump has got an eye on gas prices, like the caller called in. I'm tired of these gas prices. Yes. But in the overall scheme of things, I'm not going to go against the president because gas prices are high. That's I don't like it, but boy, way more important things than that.
Amen. Looking forward to having you on the air Sunday. Church services 11 to noon, Northern Michigan Baptist Bible Church in Burt Lake. Greatly appreciate you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Randy.
God bless. Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Hey, everybody. It's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days, without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds.